We'd like to dismiss the Breakfast Club, all the 6th through 8th graders, for their Bible study right now. You may exit right out here. I think it's great. Combining services have enabled us to serve all of our junior high students. Before, we could only get one service. So that's another benefit of combining our celebrations. It's for freedom that Christ has set you free, St. Paul writes in Galatians. He says, stand firm and don't let yourselves be yoked to slavery. We've been looking in this series at how we get hostage by the way we view and the way we handle our money. We've looked at how we get gripped by greed through our C-Watt bicycle. So, remember, many of us, that's the only bicycle we're ever on, is that C-Watt bicycle. And today I want to focus on a third tyrant. Fear. And I want to look at how fuel fears us. We've looked at how greed grips us, how debt dominates us. I want to thank Dr. Scott. Great sharing last Sunday. How many of you enjoyed Dr. Scott's candid sharing in his message? And we're going to look at how fear fuels us today. What I want you to do is open your program. Take out that yellow outline. I've got some statistics that I want you to take a look at. When it comes to American consumers' finances, most of us are running scared. Yep. An October poll revealed that 80% of Americans are significantly stressed over their finances. Are you one of them? 92% of us Americans are losing sleep over our financial worries. That's, you know, as a guy who's suffered with stress-induced insomnia, I have empathy for those people that are losing sleep over finances. 30% of us are losing sleep over the high cost of living. 29% over credit card debt. 14% of us are losing sleep over mortgage payments. 13% over declining retirement accounts. Anybody lose sleep over any of these money woes lately? Anybody losing sleep? Some of us are honestly admitting it. Good. Any of us significantly stressed over money or any of those issues recently? Okay, some of us are raising our hands too. Wow, that's a minority here. I was looking, I noticed that in the Thursday Detroit Free Press, they came out with an article that says, anxiety is the norm. Anxiety is the norm. In fact, one of them said, anxiety is catching. I've had some sleepless nights. It's a very scary time to be in southeastern Michigan. How many of you would agree with that? Kind of a scary time to be. We're at the epicenter of our recession, aren't we? I was reading, the Michigan economist had a report. They estimate that unemployment's going to top out around 10.5 to 11% here before it starts dropping down. That's a lot. And that we can understand why people are experiencing anxiety and fear. Originally, our fearless pastor, Jeff, was supposed to give this message. The guy with no fear and no shame. He's the guy to do it. And I was hoping I'd dodge this bullet because I've got a confession to make. I'm a scaredy cat. You know, I've wrestled with fear almost all of my life. I've fought a battle against anxiety. And I probably, having been in the mental health profession, I can tell you that at least two points in my life I've been clinically anxious or fearful. Should have got treatment for it. And, you know, it's embarrassing for me to share about. Just like it's tough for Dr. Scott to talk about his debt. I've got to tell you that, you know what? I've had a different captor in my life. And that's been fear and anxiety. And it's been a tyrant in my life sometimes. I want you to know that. It's sometimes fears have been on me like an 800-pound gorilla. I don't know if any one of you can identify with that. But I think it's been that way for a long, long time. Jeff's absent He's going to be absent for a little while because he is helping out a real dear pastor friend of ours who's in crisis, and his church is in crisis as a result. And so he has been speaking there on Sunday mornings because he's our dear friend, our dear friend. And so I got stuck. It's funny how God does this, isn't it? You know, because I'm not only embarrassed, but I'm ashamed of it because I'm supposed to be like the man of God, right? The pastor. So I'm just coming clean. And I've suffered with some stress-related diseases, too. It's got to my gut. And I've suffered with adrenal fatigue. And I don't know if you've seen fear work against you and your ability to trust in God, but fear can be disabling, right? It prevents us from trusting in God. It often blinds us to the bigger things that God is doing. You know why? Because fear forces us to look inward. Obsession and rumination are parts of that anxiety, fear cycle. And it twists us and turns us inward, gets us focusing, puts blinders on us, like a hostage holder's or a captor's blindfold. And it's blinded me on more than one occasion to the bigger picture of what God is doing on this planet, of what God wants to do in our area and in our county and through our church. It's prevented me from being the decisive, courageous leader that God has called me to be. And I just got to ask your forgiveness for that. At times, fear has gotten the best of me. What does God want us to do? Man, we just in our morning Bible study, we're looking at prosperity and the relationship between things like giving and such and serving and being merciful. Man, if you want to prosper, you need to be in that Bible study. It's 9:15 next Sunday morning. You ought to come to it. But anyways, God wants us to release ourselves for His purposes. I mean, the only one that I heard that I really admired was the young gal, the Latino gal with the accent. What is she afraid of? She's afraid of missing out on God's purposes. Everything God's got planned for her life. And you know what? God's got great plans for us if we've got the courage and the passion to pursue them. If we're not dominated by things like greed and debt and fear, the things that handcuff us. I know God wants us to do something significant in this county. He wants us to be instrumental in connecting our county to Christ. Because spiritual poverty is the worst kind of poverty. It's a poverty that has eternal consequences, doesn't it? Jesus says that it's a shame and you've lost everything if you gain the world but lose your soul. He said you're a fool if you're rich but you're poor toward God. I believe God has called us. I believe that God wants us to reach out, to relaunch in a prominent venue, to really be exponential. But it's going to be costly and it scares me. We have an opportunity probably next fall if we want to take it. But I want to look at why we worry about our money and our stuff. I think we worry and we fret over two things, and that's on your outline, the first two fill-in points, A and B. I think we worry and we fret out of fear of lack and out of fear of loss when it comes to financial worries. I think those two things, fear of lack and fear of loss, are the things that grip us and that really limit us from living and giving like God wants us to. Fear and loss. We're afraid of losing our savings, our homes, our jobs, our stuff. We're afraid of failing, aren't we? Fear, like a blindfold, it prevents us from trusting God. It paralyzes us from moving forward. You know what? God doesn't want you to be preoccupied with your stuff or with your money. He wants you to achieve your potential and He wants you to get the bigger picture. Scripture says that God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. Do not fear is the number one command in the Bible. You know that? God commands us not to fear more than everything else. He knows that our universal enemy is fear, is worry, is anxiety. Here's what Jesus had to say about financial fear. It's found in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. It's right smack dab in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, his first big teaching, public teaching. You can grab that Bible in front of you in that rack. Open up to 6:19. Let's follow along. You can follow along on the outline. Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry. Circle that if you're on the outline. Circle that. Do not worry about your life. It's funny. We worry about different things in life at different stages in life, right? When I was a fourth grader, I was worried about getting picked on the baseball team because I was the smallest kid in school. And I was always like the last one to get picked. When I was in high school, I was worried about getting beat up when I went to the bathrooms. Because again, I was still one of the smallest kids in the school, right? And it's amazing how worries change. When I got into college, I was worried about making the grades because I got recruited as a jock and I wasn't in the norm. I was a little bit below average and I had to struggle to get decent grades. When I got out, I was worried about getting a job. I graduated in 1980 with a degree in psychology and biblical studies, a real marketable degree during that recession. Right? When I fell in love, I got worried about whether I could provide for a family because I'm the oldest of 8 kids, and to me, family looked like a whole lot of hard work. Fears just change. I'm still the same old anxious guy. Jesus, don't worry about your life, what you eat or drink, or about your body, what you wear. I used to worry about my hair. Did it look right when I had it? God has relieved me. I sought the Lord and He heard me, delivered me from this one fear. Jesus says, man, life's a whole lot more important than food and clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. And let I tell you that not even Solomon, all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field that's here today and tomorrow is gone, how much more will he not clothe you, O you of little faith? Jesus identifies the problem. When we worry, it's a sign that we lack faith, that our faith is not as full as it can be. He says, so do not worry. Circle that one again. Saying what we'll eat, we'll drink, what we'll wear. For the pagans run after all of these things. We call that the rat race. And we're pretty good at it. How many of you have felt like you've been on a race? A race to chase all the stuff. A race to keep up with the Joneses. A race just to keep what you got. Many of us feel like we're on that race. He says, the pagans run after these things and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Listen, Jesus reveals a truth right there that you've got to get down if you want to be free from worry and fear. God, my dad, knows my need. God, my dad, knows my need. And then he says, but seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. That's about prioritizing so that you can experience a worry-free life. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus' remedy is to refocus. Refocus. Change your perspective about stuff and money and about God. Don't focus on what everybody else is chasing. Don't get caught up in that rat race because it's based on selfishness and unbelief and greed. Refocus. Stop focusing on yourself and your needs and discover God, the Creator and the Rescuer and the Sustainer of the universe. Discover God. That God is your Heavenly Father. God is bigger than your money mess. And He's more powerful than your financial fears. How many of you would like to be free from all of your financial fears? Anybody else? Oh man, lots of us would. How do you fight your financial fears? First step, pray. It's simple, yet so often it's overlooked. Jesus says, this is how you ought to pray. He says, you should pray this way. Father, give us today our daily bread. Now, 2 weeks ago, I talked about what he means by that, to ask for your daily bread. He says he wants you to be asking God to meet your needs. James says that we don't have because we don't ask, or we ask with the wrong motives, so we might be self-indulgent with what we get. See, God wants you to go to him, to ask him, because God wants you to learn to trust him as you would a perfect parent. God wants to guide you as an all-wise parent. And he wants you to develop this perspective, the perspective that Paul talks about in Philippians. I love what he says. He says, don't worry, next one, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, you'll experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ. I know that the starting point for my freedom from fear when I have fears and anxieties is to go to God and to let him know my need for peace of mind. I've learned this lesson. You can't face your fears alone. Bring them to God. Bring God your needs and even your fears. Like people that were powerful, even people like King David. I mean, he was the top honcho when Israel was at its largest. And you know what he said? He said, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me and he freed me from all of my fears. It's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of wisdom that you go to God when you got fear and anxiety and with your needs. I told you I'm ashamed that I'm an anxious person. Because I really feel, and Satan beats me up with that, you know. He'll send a little accusing, I'll get those mental pop-ups, you know. You're a failure. You shouldn't be afraid, right? All of those things. Learning to resist those things is really important. Because it's shame. David said, I sought the Lord and he heard me. I prayed to the Lord, he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Then he says, those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces, man. Take your mess to God. He'll free you from your shame and your fear. Amen. Maybe you've given in to greed. Maybe you're caught up in debt. Maybe you've given to that C-Want bicycle. And now your finances are a mess and you're flooded with fear and you're gripped by worry and anxiety over that stuff. You know what? Go to God. Bible says, cast your care on God because God cares for you. How do you fight your financial fears? Partner with God. The first one is pray. The second one is partner with God. Partner with God. Right here in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he throws down the gauntlet about finances. And here's what he says. Chapter 6, he talks about this. And he warns us. Verse 24, he says, no one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, top of page 2, or he will despise one. He'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You can't serve both God and money. Some things in life are an either or. Money and God are two of them. You can't serve both. One of them is going to take the lead in your life. One of them will dominate you. You got to decide. You got to decide which one. Because one of them is a cruel captor. And the other is a benevolent liberator. You got to decide which one you're going to serve. That's why Jesus says, don't worry about life, but seek first God's kingdom. Seek first God. Seek his rule in your life. Partner with God. Listen, man, that gives you peace of mind like no bank account can. The Bible warns us repeatedly that money, lust for it, fear of losing it, greed for more of it, money can become a terrible tyrant. fact, I like what Paul warns us in chapter 6 of his letter. Next slide. He says, those who want to get rich, people who want to get rich, fall into temptation and a trap. They can end up getting held hostage and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. How do you partner with God financially? Well, simply do what God tells you to do with what He gives you in life. Do what God tells you to do with what He gives you. And the first thing God tells you to do is to give Him a tenth. I'm just telling you, we don't harp about money around here, do we? I'm just telling you, yeah, not enough. Some people would say, that's what the directors have told me and others. We don't harp around about it enough. But it's a biblical truth. God says, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 22, in verse 21, you can turn with it. Turn from Matthew 6 to Matthew 22 and 21. It's also in your program. He says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. Well, you know, he assumes that we know that the Old Testament says that one-tenth of what you earn is God's. And so he just says this. He says, you know what, guys, here's the deal. Let me tell you my story. I don't have many financial fears. I'm a pretty fearful person, probably more than a lot of you, but I do not have a lot of financial fears because I have been tithing for 28 years. When I came to know Christ, I started giving sporadically. When I grew up in a denomination where we gave God McDonald's money. They stuck a basket in front of you and the guy was looking at it, and I always hated that. I think guilt's a lousy motivator for anything. And that guy would hold that, look that long stick, and I'd give him $5, man. Because I didn't like that. I don't like being twisted, you know, my arm twisted. But I started giving, you know, more faith-based. And I saw the promises. I said, man, God says you're going to prosper me. I'm going to try this out. And I give inconsistently. But I moved back here during the 80-82 recession. Had a part-time job, decided that's it. I sat in a church and the guy was teaching on it. I said, God, I'm going to test you in it. So I did. Been doing it ever since. And you know what? I found out that God's promises are true. In fact, I have more peace of mind. I have more peace of mind living on 90% of my money, knowing that God is my partner and my provider and my protector, than I did when I lived on everything. So I'm just telling you from my experience how to be free from your fears. In fact, we had a Bible study Wednesday night, and one of the attendees, you know, we're talking about the big three and the dilemma, and she said, well, I'm not worried about what happens if I lose my GM pension because God is my provider. I thought, what a great illustration of confidence, knowing that when you partner with God, He provides for you. The Bible says a tithe of everything belongs to the Lord. It's a story about, you know, there's a great story about a grocer who loaned a church his parking lot. He said, you guys can use my parking lot 51 Sundays of a year for free. Won't charge you a dime. But on one Sunday, I reserve the use of it. They said, well, sir, would you have something going on? You're not open on Sundays. He said, no, I just want to remind you who owns the parking lot. That's what tithing does. Reminds me that God owns everything. That all I am and all I have is a gift from God. How do you find your financial prayers, fears? Pray. Number two, partner with God. Man, you can live with confidence if you're partnered with God. The third way is to prune your spending. Prune your spending. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, take a look at it. You know what he says? He says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. You know, we go into debt for stuff, don't we? We overspend. Americans, we've been overspending. And now, man, now the credit crunch, it's forced us to prune back. Many of us not by choice. But if you prune your spending, I want you to know that you can find freedom from fear. But that takes discerning between needs and wants. It takes patience to wait until you have the resources to do it. We used to have a pay-as-you-go, and some of you who are a little older, some of our builders, and our front-end boomers, you grew up in a culture that was pay-as-you-go. How many remember that? Yeah, when I was a kid, it was pay-as-you-go. Look around, man. Now, put it on Visa, baby, right? You can have it now. And the problem is that, you know what? When we put everything on Visa, when we are undisciplined, we don't, guess what we do, man? We get caught up. We get enslaved to debt and to fear and to our lenders, don't we? God doesn't want you to do that. Prune your spending. In fact, another translation says this. Don't hoard treasure down here. Don't hoard it. We hoard when we're greedy. We hoard when we're frightened. We hoard. And our stock markets have shown us this. You can take her to the cry room. It's okay. Out the back door. That's a cold wake-up call. Child might not cry anymore. I don't know. But anyways, our markets, man, our markets, the markets are up and down like a toilet seat, aren't they? And that's because of fear and panic. See, what happens is when you're uncertain, guess what? That gray area can get manipulated and filled by fear, can't it? And it becomes an opportunity for the enemy of our souls to send us mental pop-ups that provoke us to act not out of faith, but out of fear. So the first step toward certainty and confidence is to find out where your money's going, budget. That's a bad word. For some of you, budget is a four-letter word. You know what? More than one-third of Americans, 36.1% of us Americans, do not use budgets. Are you one of those budget-free people? Huh? You never know where the fence is at the edge of the playground. You never know when you're crossing over then, right? Budgets are great. They really are. Jesus says that truth sets us free. And knowing the facts where your money is going and where it needs to go, it'll free you. It frees you to be strategic. It frees you to be self-controlled. It frees you from fears and anxieties and uncertainties. My advice, if you want to be freed from fear, go to God, budget for your needs. You'll find tremendous freedom in that. The fourth way to get freedom from your financial fears is to plan ahead. Plan ahead. Pray, partner with God, prune your spending, plan ahead. Dr. Scott shared how liberating a debt reduction strategy has been for he and his family. It's not only freed him up, but it's freed his family up from the fear and the anxiety, the conflicts that always accompany things like that, don't they? Is he part of Dave Ramsey's plan? If you're going to attend the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University in January, is to develop an emergency fund to cover those unforeseen problems that keep you up at night. And in that way, they both agree with wise King Solomon. He says, take a lesson from the ants, you sluggards. You lazy bones, learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer gathering food for the winter. Jesus says, look to the birds and to the flowers when it comes to worry. Solomon says, look to the ants when it comes to planning. We can learn a lot from the way that God created nature, can't we? God's advice, plan ahead. Save for the emergencies. There's always winters coming. But he warns us, hedge, don't hoard. And there's a difference. Hedge, don't hoard. It's about how much you save. So my tip, my application point, get an emergency fund, would you? Get an emergency fund. In fact, we were over at Susie's house, Susie and Leo's house for our growth group. I hope you guys get into a growth group because they are great. What a great way to dig into God's Word, the Scriptures, to grow in your faith, to grow closer with others. Listen, man, it's a great, great way. You'll grow faster and you'll grow further when you grow together. We were over there and Susie showed us their pantry. So they have a pantry with foods, and when they need something, they'll go down to the pantry, and sometimes the kids go shopping. We have a pantry too. It helps me breathe easier. How about you? We need to do the same thing financially. Just have a little hedge for those lean times, those winters in our lives. I like what Jesus says. Jesus says, don't store up treasures on earth. Verse 19, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Man, how do we store up treasures in heaven? You ever wondered that? Now he's talking in those metaphors again, right? I don't know what he's talking about. You know what? If we look to the Scriptures, we can see how they explain it. I like what Paul says. Paul says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth. Listen, God doesn't want you to put your hope in wealth. That's the danger of greed and materialism. They become idols in our lives. They steal our hearts from God. He says, don't put your hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. But put your hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to, ready? Do good. Circle that. Be rich in good deeds. Circle that. And be generous. Circle that word generous. And willing to share. Circle that. That's how you store up treasures in heaven. By demonstrating those virtues in your life. We'll talk about that next Sunday. Just going to talk about thanksgiving. Going to talk about developing gratitude. How you can become a more grateful person, a more generous person. If you do that, you will experience a lot more freedom. I want you to know that. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Jesus warns us, don't be deceived. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. True life is found in God. True life is eternal. God wants you to invest for eternity by handling your money wisely, by being rich in good deeds. God's advice, my advice, go to God. Budget for God. Budget for your needs. Budget for emergencies and budget for generosity. Make room for those things in your life. I just want to close in prayer. We're going to follow up with a song. We'll take your Discover cards. I just want you to join me, okay? Heavenly Father, I thank you that I can call you Father. Thank you, dear God, that you're not a stranger that I'm afraid of, but you're a wonderful, wonderful, caring parent who I can run to. God, I pray that every person in this place would make that decision to become your child, to trusting in Jesus to lead their lives and forgive their sins. And I pray and ask, Father God, that you would help us to get in that habit of going to you with our needs and our spending decisions, Lord, with our money messes, God, so that we can seek your wisdom. Father God, I pray that you'd release the gift of faith to enable us to partner with you in life by yielding our lives to Jesus' leadership and financially, by giving you what says is yours. I pray that you'd release faith to do that, Lord God. We also pray that you'd help us to become wise in how we manage our money, that we'd prune our spending and learn to discern between needs and wants. And that, God, you would also give us the wisdom and discipline to plan ahead, to plan for emergencies, we pray. I pray for each one of us that have been gripped by fear, money-related fear. God, that you would free us from our fears, as King David said you did for him. We ask this in faith. Amen.